Hello and welcome to this, our service from the Church of the Epiphany. Next Saturday, December 7th, we'll need some baked goods. Details in our email. And then that evening, Sunday, December 8th, is our carol service and cookie raffle draw. The rest of the announcements, I'll just have you look at your email for a reminder that New Year's Eve is already selling. And we're going to be having a trivia night and a turkey dinner. Lots of great things going on. If you wish, our regular weekly donations or special donations can be sent to our envelope secretary, Barb. And now, the flowers in the sanctuary today are to the glory of God and in loving memory of a dear father and mother, William and Florence Brock, given by Linda and Bob Allington and family. The opening of our service. God of justice and peace, from the heavens you rain down mercy and kindness, that all on earth may stand in awe and wonder before your marvelous deeds. Raise our heads in expectation that we may yearn for the coming day of the Lord and stand without blame before your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. And this week's reading is from the book of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live safely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. And now, a sermon. And this sermon is based on the reading from Jeremiah. Well, every actor deals with fear that something will go horribly wrong when they step out onto the stage. Certainly that's the case with this week's stage production at the Church of the Epiphany's Memorial Hall, where we are seeing the fig tree. Fortunately, actors are taught to think on their feet and to improvise if something goes wrong. Actor Jennifer Laura Thompson recalls how her castmates in a stage play of Wicked had to improvise when the set machinery didn't work. Thompson was playing Glinda the Good Witch, who is supposed to descend to the stage in a large bubble. As Thompson began her descent, the bubble stopped working. She was stuck 14 feet in the air as her castmates down below ad-libbed, "She's coming! It's Glinda! She's coming! Glinda's coming!" Can you imagine being in those poor actors' shoes, having to act excited as they waited and waited before a live audience and waited for Glinda to descend? Those actors are like the prophet Jeremiah as he tried to point the nation to the coming of their Messiah. Jeremiah must have felt like the actors, waiting and waiting. Jeremiah's people were hurting. They needed hope now. It's sad. Jeremiah seemed to be on the unpopular side. We think, why wouldn't he keep his mouth shut? His inability to hold his tongue did cost him dearly. He was physically beaten for expressing his unpopular convictions. Why couldn't he keep quiet? After all, he could have enjoyed a peaceful, comfortable life. Why didn't he? The answer is simple. There was a voice within that would not let him alone. On the other hand, why couldn't his countrymen see the folly of their ways? He tried to warn them about their greed, their disobedience, their bad lifestyles, but they would not listen because they would not listen. Jeremiah says God had forsaken them. After all, his country was now besieged. They did feel God forsaken. This lonely, sensitive prophet could have scolded them, "I told you so," but you would not listen. Now the Lord is getting you. But that was not the message the Lord had put in his heart. By the last chapter of his book, Jeremiah speaks words of comfort. Before, his people needed to be confronted, but now they need to be comforted. Now they need hope. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will achieve justice and righteousness in the land." Those are the message. Those are the words and the message of Jeremiah when the people were in such trouble. From our perspective, it seems Jeremiah is announcing the coming of Jesus. And that's what this first Sunday of Advent is all about. The days are coming when there will be justice. Justice. There's an old Arabian story about a wealthy prince who claims the land of a poor widow so that he can enlarge his palace gardens. The poor widow brings her complaint before a local judge. The judge is a man of character and integrity, but he's also smart enough to know that the wealthy prince could ruin him. Then and now, the poor and the powerless have little chance of receiving justice when they go up against the wealthy and the powerful. Rather than summon the prince to his court, the judge loaded a large sack on his back and went to the palace. The judge then asked the prince if he could fill his sack with dirt from the palace garden. The curious prince agreed. After the judge had filled the sack to the brim with dirt, he asked the prince to lift it. The prince said, "Sack's too heavy, even if we both lift it." The judge replied, "The sack, which you think is too heavy to bear, contains only a small portion of the land that you took from the rightful owner. How then, at the day of judgment, before our God, will you be able to support the weight of the whole land you have stolen?" We have an innate need for justice, don't we? We want to see the bad guys punished and the good guys rewarded. There is something built into the very fabric of our being that yearns for justice. Reverend Thomas G. Long writes, "Righteousness is not a sweet virtue that everyone in the world desires. Those who take advantage of others for their own gain do not want the world to be fair and just. If every wage were fair, if every person were honored as a child of God, if every soul were safe from exploitation, many would lose their riches. Life is not fair. Nevertheless, the days are coming," says Jeremiah, "when the playing fields of this world will be leveled. The days are coming that